folks, how many of you here today have never heard Brother Jeremiah Simpson preach? Raise your hand up.
There you go.
Brother Jeremiah's a young preacher out of thanks to Calvary Baptist Church down the eastern part of the county. He is the son of Brother Jeremy Simpson and the grandson of Brother Alan Barker, former pastor of Northwood Baptist Church, be the great-grandson of Brother Olin Barker. So y'all know he comes from good stock. The Bible said that we have a goodly heritage. He's got a goodly heritage. He comes from a long line of preachers, but he's not here because Grandpa was a preacher, great-granddaddy was a preacher. He's here because the Lord saved his unworthy soul from the devil's hell, counted him faithful, and put him in the gospel ministry. It's good to have him and his dear wife with us today. And don't just pray for Brother Jeremiah, but pray for our own preachers that are out here that are standing in the gap today. Brother Chris is up at Chestnut Hill, and then we've got others that's preaching. We're not going to drag it out. If you're a visitor, you're welcome. Come back and be with us. Brother Jeremiah, the service is yours from here out.
Thank you. Amen. Appreciate you. Amen. You can be seated. Sure is good to be in church this morning. Amen. Amen.
I didn't do anything, I promise.
It sure is good to be here.
Don't take it light. Don't take what's going on here right now lightly either.
Come on, brother.
I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I get to go quite a few little churches around this area, and they ain't like this.
Come on, brother.
And I'll just be honest with you. There's a whole lot more churches that ain't like this than are like this. Yeah. I know that ain't good grammar, but we're in Wilkes County. That fits in. And But I'm thankful to be where the Holy Spirit is, ain't you? Man, y'all not take that for granted. I mean that.
On,
and man, the Lord sure is good to us. And man, I'm thankful for Him saving me. And man, I'm thankful that I've been called to preach. Thankful that I got a good family. And man, I'm just blessed this morning. Man, I'm unworthy of everything He's ever done for me. I don't know about y'all, but man, you know what I ought to be? I ought to be in hell this morning. I ought to be in hell. The lowest place of hell is where I ought to be. It's all right if I just mind the Lord. I lived for 17 years in a pastor's home. And everybody else thought I saved. And I lived for 17 years, and I wasn't saved no more as a dog up the street. And man, I'm glad that the Lord's long-suffering. I'm glad the Lord's merciful. I'm glad the Lord loves us. Man, I'm thankful to be saved this morning. And man, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to be in church. And say, what are you doing? I'm just minding the Lord. And but one thing I don't ever want to do is I want to jump ahead of the Holy Ghost. And I'm just doing what He wants me to do. I told them back here, I said, I ain't used to people looking in the back of my head while I preach. And I said, well, ain't nothing I can do about it now. So anyway, but man, it sure is good to be here. And I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. If you got your book, the book, the book, ain't no other. I just want to say the book this morning. If you got the Bible this morning, turn to the book of Ruth. And I wanted to go somewhere else, but the Lord wouldn't let me. And so we'll just do what He wants me to do this morning. I believe that's always in order, ain't it? And the book of Ruth, man, I enjoyed the singing. Man, wonderful. And thank you, youngins. I need to preach this way and let y'all just look at the back of my head. But no, but I appreciate it. Good piano playing. I wish I could do that, but I can't. And maybe one day I will. Probably not, but I don't know. But we'll see. But I love the book of Ruth. If you find any place there, I want you to stand. And we'll read just a few verses and see what the Lord has for us this morning. I promise you, I'll do my very best not to hold you very long. And we'll get out of here and let you go eat some lunch. Because you're a Baptist and you got to eat. Amen. Bible says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife with his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. What a mistake. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. I just want to say this in passing, young people. I'm not preaching on this, but I could. I know Ruth's one of the greatest stories, I believe, of a love story we have in our Bible. But it starts with a massive, massive mistake. Because they're from the house of bread. They're from the promised land. And they're from Bethlehem, Judah.
Right.
And they go to the Moab. If you know anything about Moab, it's not a good place.
Right.
And they took wives of Moab. What in the world? I'm just going to tell you, young people, you know where you need to find your spouse, your wife, your husband? Right where you're sitting. Don't go to Moab looking for a wife. Don't go to Moab looking for a husband. I ain't preaching on that, but I promise you it'll preach. Because you don't need to find somebody out in the world to change them. Because I'm just going to tell you, more times than not, they're going to change you instead of you changing them. I got to move on. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the women were left of her two sons and her husband. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. We'll stop reading there for just sake of time. But I do ask you to keep your Bible open. We'll be through the whole first chapter here this morning. Thank you for standing for reverence of our King James Bible. You can be seated. Again, I love this story. It might be one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. I could preach a whole lot out of Ruth on the different topics. It's full of stuff, y'all. We ain't got time to really dig into Ruth, what it would do it justice. And I want to pull something out of this first chapter this morning that might be a little different. But in these verses and throughout this book as well, we see that Ruth is a tremendous example of a committed life, of a steadfast life. You stay with me, we'll go somewhere. She teaches us about remaining faithful, even when everybody else around her had pretty much went away and left her. And as we have time this morning, I want to look into these verses and just look at the life of Ruth and show you what a steadfast life is supposed to look like. You know, that might be a little unusual for a youth Sunday, but somebody's got to tell our young people to be steadfast. Because I'm just going to be honest with you, parents, and this ain't, I'm trying to be nice, but our parents ain't doing their job right.
Come on, brother. Go ahead, preach.
Somebody's got to tell our kids how to be committed because a lot of parents ain't showing them how to be committed. And man, I believe this, sister said, I was in youth camp this week. And if you'd give me all the monitor you've got because I was in youth camp this week and I ain't got a voice left. But I was in youth camp this week and they said that I believe it's on my heart that if we're going to see revival in America, then you're looking at it right here. Because the generation above us, and I'm trying to be reverent because I'm young too, but I'm just going to be honest with you. A generation above us is dropping the ball. Well, don't get tight on me, please. I'll get down in here. I was at youth camp this week, and this is for the older ones. I'll get to the young ones in a second. We had 150 young people up in the choir absolutely singing their guts out. And they just sit there and looked at us some. Now, I'm not gonna say every one of us did, but there's some of them just said, well, that's pretty good, y'all. That's it. Man, you want to talk about one of the greatest things in your lifetime is when you see those youngins this morning singing up there and worshiping and praising the Lord. You want to say something that gets you hyped up and excited? Man, it ought to be what you just seen. And man, I'm thankful. I am so thankful to be in a church this morning that the young people were up here praising the Lord. And that's something you ought to be thankful for this morning. Because it ain't like that everywhere, y'all. It ain't like that everywhere. Man, I want to be what God wants me to do. And I want to be the example. That's what you should strive to be. You should strive to want to be the example that these young people need. And I want to show you a couple things from the life of Ruth. And we'll go to the house. I promise you, I'll get out of your way. But that's I want to show you a few things out of the life of Ruth about us being steadfast. And young people, there's something you need to be in this life. It needs to be committed. Amen. We got a lot of young people that ain't committed to nothing.
Right.
Amen. We just got a lot of Christians that ain't committed. Right. But if you want to live for the Lord, you want to serve God with your life, then you're going to have to commit yourself to serving. You go to the book of Daniel there in the first chapter where Daniel, he purposed it in his heart.
Right.
He purposed it in his heart. That's when you find over there when Darius gives out the decree and he finds himself in the lion's den. You know why Daniel found himself in the lion's den? Because he had purpose in his heart.
Right.
Because he had committed himself that no matter what, he wasn't going to defy himself with the king's meat.
Right.
We got a purpose in our heart. We got to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to learn to be committed. I want to show you, first of all, Ruth's condition. We see in verse 4 her ancestry. Ruth was a member of a condemned nation, and she and her people were sinful and had been judged and condemned by the Lord. And if you know anything about Moab, Psalms number 60, verse 8, God calls Moab, you know what it is, it's his washpot. And Ruth's heritage seemed like a desperate and lost condition. In this, we see Ruth is a beautiful picture of every person that ever lived on this earth. And there is a picture of every person outside of the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are helpless and condemned before God. And we are lost in a sin-cursed nature because of the fall of Adam. But I'm glad, just like Ruth was redeemed in chapter number 3 and 4, I'm glad I've been redeemed. And I'm no longer bound by the heritage of my sin. Yeah, man, I don't know if y'all wake this morning, but I'm glad that I've been brought out of Moab. Yeah, man, hallelujah. I ain't no longer bound to it. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad that I've been redeemed this morning. Not only do I see her ancestry, but I see her ambition. I'm moving quickly. Verse 6 and 7. Naomi has heard that the famine that caused her family to leave Bethlehem to begin with has ended. It's over. The famine's over. And she's going to go back to that to the house of bread. And so she rises up to go home. Her and her two daughter-in-laws rise up to go with her. And however they came to this decision, I don't know how they made the decision to go back with them, because they're leaving their home. Their husbands have now died, and they're going back with Naomi. I don't know how, but I think maybe I'm just going to read a little bit in the white of the Bible. Y'all understand that? We only get black and red in the New Testament. I'm just looking at the white for a second. And I'm glad, y'all understand that? Okay. I'm making sure y'all with me. I'm looking in between the lines, what I'm saying. I don't know how Ruth and Orpah came to this decision. Maybe that they had heard this backslidden family talk about the Lord. Somehow they heard what was going on in Bethlehem, Judah. And they decided to go with them. They made a decision to go with Naomi. I think that's important to point out, that they made the decision. At the beginning, at least, they both make that decision. And this is precisely how the new life begins. A conscious decision is made to leave the old life behind and to go with Jesus in a new life with Him. And I wonder this morning, have you made that decision in your life? Have you made that decision to leave Moab behind and to go forward in a new life with Christ? Have you left the old life behind, is what I'm saying. Young people, I know y'all ain't old, but you got an old life if you've been saved. You're leaving that old life behind. That's an important decision to ponder on this morning. Leave it behind is what I'm saying. And I can stand up here this morning and name all kinds of walls of partition that you could have in your life that forces you to have a distance in between you and the Lord. But I'm not going to do that, because I ain't got to. I think a lot of times when we try to just labor things that you got in between you and God, it's just pointless. Because when I say whoever, what is one thing that you have in between you and the Lord right now? I don't have to, is it this? Is it this? Is it this, brother? You know I don't have to do that? Because you know what it is already. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know what it is in my life. Say, what is it? I ain't going to tell you. You don't look at me the same. You all right? Y'all ain't looking at me the same already. I ain't going to stand up here and do that, because you know. You know what you got in your heart. You know what you have in your life. You know what sin is hindering your relationship with the Lord. We all know for ourselves what's keeping us from serving Him. What's keeping you from selling out to God, young person? What's keeping you from selling out and giving God every bit of your heart and every bit of your soul? Can I tell you this morning that a life fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus is absolutely the best life you can ever live? Amen. When you absolutely, I'm telling you, nothing holding back, just fully surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, there ain't nothing better. I'm not saying you're going to have all the money in the world, because I don't. You ain't going to have everything you want, probably. But I promise you, it's the greatest life you will ever live. And I know I'm only 23, but it's the best life. I ain't had that much experience in life, but I've had enough to know that it's worth it. Man, it's worth it to sell out. It's worth it to give Him your all. It's worth it to give Him everything you got this morning. And I want to show you that being steadfast is choosing every day to live for Him. It's not just say, well, I'm going to live for God. And then you just let a week go by and you let that be the only decision you made for live for Him. No. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you know what you need to say, young people? I'm going to live for God today. I'm going to be a light for Him. When you wake up Tuesday morning, you say, you know what you need to do? I'm going to live for God today. I'm going to be what He wants me to do. When you wake up Wednesday morning, you know what you need to say? I'm going to live for God today. It's going to be a good day. It's something you got to choose every day if you want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You got to choose every day to live for Him. How many days will we go by? Well, I didn't mean to say that. That just kind of came out. How many days do we go by and never choose to live for Him, though? I know that was mean. I shouldn't have said that. But how many days do we go? Jeremiah? How many days do I go? Y'all right? I didn't mean to be this mean. I really didn't. I was going to preach something real sweet. How many days do I go without saying, God, I'm going to do something for you today? We say all the time, man, I want to see revival. Man, I want to see revival. Anybody want to see revival in our nation? I believe if we was honest, everybody would say, yeah. When was the last time you did something to make sure we have revival in America? I want you to think about it. When was the last time, young people? When was the last time you chose to do something to be sure that we're going to have revival? Oh, me. Ruth made the decision. I told you, I didn't mean to be this mean. We see her condition. She had a condition. Her ancestry was terrible. She didn't have no hope. She had a God that had some hope, though. Not only her condition, I want to see Ruth's challenge real fast. We see an expectation in Naomi, verses 8 and 9. As they begin their journey, Naomi encourages both these girls to return to the home of their mothers. She prays that the Lord will bless them, but she fully intends to send them away. I believe that. She expects these girls to not go with her and to stay in Moab. Naomi was trying to keep these women from going with her into the promised land of blessing. And basically, this boils down to a challenge to the commitment of these girls, these young women. They are challenged to give up their resolve to follow Naomi. And they are tempted to turn back to a life of heathenism and wickedness. In case you haven't noted, notice that life is full of challenges. Life is full of them. Satan would love nothing more, young people. He would love nothing more than to trip you up and to cause you to totally mess up your Christian walk. He will confront you with challenge after challenge after challenge to get you to turn your back on your Lord. And how you respond to these challenges, it reveals a great deal about the level of your commitment. How do you respond to the challenges that God, that the devil throws at you? That reveals your commitment level. In these verses, we get an opportunity to see Ruth's heart on display. We see an explanation in verse 10 through 13. Naomi tries to persuade these women to go home because she has no more sons. You read it when you get home. She got no more sons. She told them, I ain't going to be able to bury your son. And if I did bury your son, you ain't going to wait that long to marry him. That's what she said. And she tried to get them to turn away. And even if she remarried, had children, they ain't gonna wait that long. They couldn't be asked to wait that long, y'all. I mean, really. So this is just another attempt. Y'all see that, right? It's just another challenge. You know what that's a picture of? Is when the devil throws you a challenge and you say no, you resist the devil, you do what's right. You know what the devil's probably gonna do? Well, they got me on that one. Oh, well, maybe next time they got me on that one. You think that's what the devil's... No, that ain't what the devil's going to do. He's going to come right back at you. Yeah, man. You know when you're most... the probability for you to fail, you know when it's the highest? Right after you succeed. Right after you have this great success with the devil. Man, I got him. Woo! I said no to that temptation. Man, I'm on the up and up, and bam, hits you right in the face again. Man, when you say no right then, you just better get ready because that ain't the only temptation the devil's going to bring at you. It's going to happen again and again. That's what Naomi does here to Ruth. And as she tempts him again to try to turn back and stay in Moab. I want to show you in verse 14, we see an evacuation with Orpah. When Orpah heard this speech of Naomi, she kissed her mother-in-law and turned around and went home. And I'm afraid that there is a lot of people. There's a lot of people around who are just like Orpah. They face the challenge of life. And then by defecting and going back to do their own thing, when they receive a challenge, they answer it that way. Can I say this just in passing? Please don't let that be the way you respond to challenges. The problem with Orpah, I say this. The problem with Orpah was that her heart was still filled with the love for the old gods. Her heart was still filled with the love toward Moab. She was still a Moabite. And that's why she didn't go with Naomi. Her commitment wasn't there because she was still in love with the old life. She was still in love with the old God. And I think the reason a lot of so-called Christians are not going and staying committed and keeping on going and keeping on going and fail to the challenge and revert back to the old life and go into the world might be because they still got the love for the old life a little too high in their life. And I'm not going to tell you that that love may ever go away for you. I'm just going to be honest. It's different for every person. But you should have a desire in your heart that when you are faced with a challenge, don't revert back to the old ways. Man, hey, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You ain't got to respond the same way you used to. You're a new creature in Christ. And I'm thankful for that. But Orpah turned away, I believe, because she had old life still in her. She still loved that old life, that still Moabite. And I want to show you not only Ruth's condition, see Ruth's challenge. Lastly, I want to show you this. Now, I'm almost done. I've done pretty good. But now I've got to where I wanted to get to. See, Ruth's condition, what she had to face in herself. Ruth challenged what the devil threw at her, what Naomi was throwing at her. And I want to show you Ruth's commitment here towards the end of the chapter. Verse 16. I'm just going to read these verses because they're some of my favorite verses in all the Bible. This is where Ruth decides. I mean, she's already decided, but this is where she decides, friend. Look at verse 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also if aught but death part thee and me." That's some commitment right there, y'all. She said, if I don't stand true to what I'm saying to you, I pray God kills me. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know if I've ever had that type of commitment. Y'all okay? God, I know this is what you want me to do, but, well, you know what we ought to say? Like Ruth said, God, y'all okay? I'm just trying to tell you my heart for a second. I know I'm doing exactly what the Lord wants me to do. Going to these schools, I know that's what I'm supposed to do, Brother Hall. You know what I pray in my heart is? God, until you change what I'm supposed to be doing, God, I know the last word you gave me was to do exactly what I'm doing right now. And God, I beg you to give me the commitment that I don't falter, that I don't step back. God, only help death, huh? Only death come between me and the will of God. I don't think I've ever prayed that, brother. Okay. I'm being real with y'all this morning. I'm kind of... You ever prayed that prayer? I mean, that's what Ruth Jonas had to do. Let me show you what she commits to. This ain't just some fly-by Cedar of Riches type of decision, y'all okay? She commits to a new land. She's willing to follow Naomi wherever she goes. She's willing to leave Moab behind forever to follow Naomi to Israel. She commits to a new leadership. She's willing to submit to Naomi. And if you look out through all the book of Ruth, she does submit to Naomi. Naomi gives her advice on how to approach Boaz in all types of areas. She commits to a new lifestyle. She's willing to give up the old ways of Moab to conform her life to the way the people live in Israel. Amen. She's ready to make a dramatic change in her life. She's ready to change everything that she's about to do what God wants her to do. She's willing to commit to a new lineage. Verse 16, we see it all right here. Ruth is willing to cut all ties with Moab. She wants to be a part of the nation which she has married into. She's ready to claim a new lineage. I'll just time out. There's a whole lot of preach on that new lineage. I ain't got time to preach it. But it, man, time back in. She commits with no limits. She commits with no limits. She tells Naomi that she's willing to commit to this new plan for life. As long as she lives, she commits to a new Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. This is perhaps the greatest statement Ruth makes. She's willing to give up the gods of Moab, the gods that hold her bondage in her old life, and follow the true and living God of Israel. She's ready to change. She's ready to change everything about her. Amen. Well, hallelujah. She's ready to make a dramatic change. She don't want her life to be the same way. She's ready to change everything to be what God wants her to be. And as we consider the commitment Ruth makes to Naomi, oh God, it paints a picture. For us, the commitment we need to have towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, amen. We got to have a commitment to the Lord. I want Him to change me. I don't want to be the old life inside of me. I don't want to live the same way I did when before I got saved. I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want to be committed. Oh, my. I hope that's your prayer this morning. Hey, man, I hope it's your prayer. We should be willing to cut all ties with the old life and enter into a new land of blessing before the Lord. We must be willing to commit to His leadership for our lives. There should be a commitment to a new lifestyle based on the Word and the will of God. We should also consider ourselves dead to the old life and alive in a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lineage, amen, our lineage has changed this morning. And obviously this all means that there's got to be a new Lord in our life. Amen. A new master who dominates. Oh, yes. He'll dominate you. Amen. Who dominates every area of our lives. He wants to. That's exactly right. He wants to change you. He wants to lead you. He wants you to give Him everything you've got. That's what He desires this morning. And then we should be able to commit to the Lord and His will. Without any restrictions, without any limits. That's what God wants. Our commitment to Jesus Christ must be complete. It must be absolute. It must be final. You know what? It's time for some Christians. Hey, young people. It's time for some young people to be committed. It's time for you to live the way God wants you to live. You need to turn away from Moab. You need to turn away from the old life. There ain't nothing in there for you. There's nothing but doom. There ain't nothing but despair. Depravity is all that waits for you, Moab. That's the world, y'all. That's what I'm saying. The world ain't got nothing for you. Y'all, that world ain't got nothing for you. I promise you, it ain't got nothing for you but destruction. I'm not saying that if you commit yourself to the Lord, you're going to have the greatest materialistic, I'm speaking, life ever. But you'll have some unbelievable spiritual blessings in your life. Amen. Let me just tell you about Ruth for a second. When Ruth committed herself and Ruth gave everything to the Lord, she held nothing back. Nothing. She wouldn't hold nothing back. Listen, she lived a consistent and steadfast life. You study the book of Ruth, it was beautiful. How are you supposed to live? You know what Ruth got in return? She's brought into Israel. First of all, it's a pretty good swap from Moab to Israel. She married an Israelite man named Boaz. She became a part of the covenant people of the Lord. I don't know if you know this, but Boaz and Ruth had a little boy. They named him Obed. And Obed had a little boy, and they named him Jesse. Whoa. And Jesse had a little boy. You know what his name was? It was King David, y'all. You know what? Ruth became the great-grandmother to David. Oh, man. And that ain't where it stops. You go over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, you know what you find? The lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know where you find, if you go far back enough, you find a little Moabitess woman.
That's right.
Who committed herself. Oh man, she committed herself in God's washpot. In a wicked society. Oh, listen to me, young people. She committed herself in a wicked society. And she ended up a grandmama to the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! You know what that tells me? If you'll commit yourself in this wicked society, because just for the record, you're living in a wicked society, y'all. I ain't preaching on that because I'm trying to stay spiritual. But we're living in a wicked society. And if you'll learn to commit yourself, I'm telling you, God will bless you. You won't end up the great grandmama of Jesus, but I promise you, God will give you something great. Oh, my, give you something great. But you know where it starts? It starts with new purpose in your heart. And you say, God, only death. Only death part me from what you want. I wonder in the building this morning if there's somebody that's ever prayed that. God, commit me. God, I don't want my old life. God, I don't want my old lifestyle. I don't want my old lineage of Moab. God, I want you to change me. Oh, God, I want you to change me. I want you to change me. The pianist is going to come, and I'm going to give the service over to Brother Mark in just a second. She's going to come play. And I wonder if we can stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. With a number this size, and I thank God for it, there's no doubt in my mind that there's someone here that's never committed themselves to the Lord Jesus. Let me talk to you, Christian, for a second. You know when the brightest light shines in the darkest room. I'm just going to tell you, y'all, it's a dark, dark room out there. Young people, if you'll commit yourself, if you'll give God your life, I promise you He'll do things with you. I promise you He'll do things with you. Let me ask you this. Nobody's looking around, only the preacher. I'm about to give it over to him. I'm going to get out of the way. But I want to ask you a question this morning. I don't know how y'all usually do things. I'm just trying to do what the Lord tells me to do. You say, preacher, I know 100% sure that I'm saved. There is no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt. I know it. If you could say that this morning, would you raise your hand? There's nobody looking around. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Thank you, God, for that testimony. Let me ask you this, Christian.
Oh, God, give strength.
Say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. There's not a question. But Lord, I'm not committed as I need to be. I'm not living the greatest life for you that I possibly could. If you got to say that now, it doesn't mean that you're lost. I'm just saying if you're saved and you're not living 100%, 100% committed, would you raise your hand this morning? I just want to pray for you. I see those hands. I see them. You know what you ought to do if you just raise your hand? You ought to come get around this altar. And like Ruth said to Naomi, oh Lord, Lord, only death part me from what you want. Why don't you come give God your life? Christian, why don't you give God your life? I'm going to ask one more question, and I'm sitting down. Preacher's right here beside me. He said, Brother Sampson, Pastor, I don't think I've ever been saved. I don't know if I'm saved or not. You may have to say this, Preacher, I know I've never been saved. If you had to say that you didn't know 100% sure you're saved this morning, would you raise your hand this morning? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to come pick you out. I'd never do that. I just want to pray for you. There's some of you that couldn't raise your hand that you're saved. And a number this size, I'm just going to be honest. I'm sure there's somebody in here that's never been saved. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Right now, if you've never been saved, I beg you, why don't you come get it right now? I'm going to hand the service over to the Lord. You know what I'm going to the pastor. You know what I'm going to do? And I'm the one that just got done preaching. But I'm going to find myself a place in this altar.